Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
House of Oaks going to be joining us next week. So Pastor Woodley will bring the message at that time. So we left off, we were talking about cultural rituals and all the things that we get involved with not knowing what they are all about. We talked about tattoos and I said, I hope I didn't turn folks away because I don't have a tattoo, never wanted a tattoo, never had dreamed about getting one. But there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that have tattoos. And I don't say this to denigrate or put people on blast, as they like to say. It's just a matter of understanding why these things are not things God wants us to do. God wants us to be aligned with Him only. Everybody say aligned with Him. You know what that means? That means you and Him are buddies, linked up, if you will. And you are linked up because of the blood that He shed for you. You are His blood brother. And now, the mafia, I should say this, but I don't care. I'm not going to worry about all that stuff. They actually do blood oaths. The gangs, they do blood oaths. The reason why you see drive-by shootings is used to be, I don't know how much it is now, but that was an initiation rite. They had to shoot somebody to be a part of the gang. That's a blood oath. You have to spill blood to be a part of this group. The Masons, for those many of us are no Masons, they do blood oaths. If they don't actually do it, they actually go through the ritual. Maybe they don't actually drink blood anymore, but initially they did. And they have to align themselves with this doctrine. And they have to be dedicated to it. It's so secret that many Masons won't tell you about what they do and what they do in the lodges. And these are all things that are contrary to what the scriptures tell us. He says, you don't make oaths. He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't align yourself with things that are demonically inspired or man-made. Some of the things we think are man-made, but they're really demonically inspired. Let me read a passage of scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. What was that? I think it's 16, 1 Corinthians 16. Let's see if that's the right one. Maybe it's 15. I think I wrote it down wrong. I'm sorry. I think I write it right back there, Michael. I wrote it right in the notes back there. You see it back there? 1 Corinthians, like, yeah. Okay, I think that's it. 10, 19, and 21. Let's go there. Sorry. I have 16 here. I can't read my own writing. Well, this is a typing, so I shouldn't have any problems, right? Yeah, this is where I want to go. Now, listen to this very carefully, because Paul is trying to teach us something. It says, what am I saying then? Well, let's go back to 18. Observe, Israel, after the flesh, are not those who eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Okay, so he's giving you, he's throwing out a principle there. He says, if you eat of the altar, eat of the sacrifices of the altar, then you are a partaker of the offering that is given to God. That's what he's saying here, all right? And for those that don't understand, that is the priests had to actually physically eat the sacrifices that were given. And if they didn't eat them, they were not accepted by God. And if they did, if they left them over a certain number of days, it wasn't accepted by God. So they were a part of the redemption that God had brought to the children of Israel. Are you with me here? I was reading this in Leviticus just yesterday, or Friday, excuse me. And so he says, so those that partake of the altar those who eat of the sacrifice partakes of the altar. Now, this is the part I want to get. What am I saying then? Then an idol is, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Read it out loud. He sacrificed to what? Say it. Demons. Is it up there? Sacrifice to demons. No, wait a minute. It's just a statue. It's just a statue of a dog or a cat or a, if you were Egyptian, a jackal or a rabbit or a man or just a pole. It's not this. What's so demonic? Well, he says that those are demons and not to God, and do not want to use, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Now think about that. Most people, remember, Paul is talking to a culture that is, they got idols everywhere. Everywhere. He goes to the Mars Hill, and they got statues everywhere, and they got ones just in case we forgot one God. Here's one for the unknown God. And he says, I'm here to bring truth to you. But he's saying that those things are demonically inspired. Why are they demonically inspired? Because the commandment says, the first commandment says what? You shall not have any other gods before me. And they all were gods. Well, who's the guy that wanted worship from the beginning other than God? Satan. That was his whole ploy. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. He wanted worship. So now he used the idol to disguise the method of worship, but it's still coming to him. And so he inspires all these things, and he inspires people to offer human sacrifice and spill their blood. And you guys know the story of Elijah on the mountain where he challenged the 450 prophets, right? Notice that they just offered the sacrifice to Baal. But that wasn't enough. They start cutting themselves because they felt that the Baal would answer if we give him a greater sacrifice. We gave them the bulls, that's not enough, so now we'll start giving them our blood. Are you with me here? That's what demonically inspired worship requires. Things that God does not allow. Amen? And that's why he said, these things are demons. These are demonic forces that we are worshiping. So when we mix things like masonry, and there's a lot of preachers that are Masons. And you might, well, I don't care. They can censor me, do whatever. I don't care. I mean, they hear me on the internet. I don't care. But it doesn't matter. I'm trying to open some eyes. Because I remember people talking to me about joining these groups. They say, well, they can open doors for you. And you can get favor with people that the strangers will stop and give you favor. I said, look, I know the God of the universe. I don't need favor from these people. And if God wants me to have favor with them, I'll use them. He'll use them to give me favor if that's what he wants to do. But I don't need to make oaths and promise to do things and give my soul to this and give my soul to that and submit to this and submit to that and bow down to this and go through some secret oath and walk around with things on my head and all that. I don't need that because the God I serve is the God of the universe. That's the bondage that we don't realize that we're under. And many people, unfortunately, if your families have been exposed to this, sometimes they pray those things over their kids so that the spirits that have been leading them will come on them, not even knowing anything about it. Just like we dedicate babies. You know, we dedicated Pastor Woodley's baby. Remember that? If we were demonically inspired, they would have done the same thing. They dedicate their children to Satan worshipers. They just like we put babies on the altar and baptize, they do the same things. But when you're not aware of what's been done, you don't know that this spirit is following you. But until you're set free, then you can have eyes to see. And see, this is what sometimes troubles me. Sometimes the church, our eyesight is clouded. And I can't see without my glasses very well. But spiritually, I can see regardless of whether I have glasses or not. Because the spirit sees things that we can't see. But your eyes are only open when you submit to the King. And so that's why the scriptures, when it says stuff like, you're not worshiping just idols, you're worshiping demons. Paul's trying to open their eyes. Do you know he was ridiculed for that? Oh, come on, Paul, man. You're seeing the demon on every corner. Unfortunately, there were demons on every corner because that's where they kept their idols. I mean, if we think about the world that the church came out of, and it's not changed much, mind you. Like I told you, I used to believe that people don't worship idols anymore. I used to say that. I said that across the people. Well, you know, we're a sophisticated people now. We don't bow down to statues anymore. We are educated. And man, these people bow. You go, just walk down the street three blocks. There's statues and idols everywhere. In Seattle now. It wasn't that the way 50 years ago. But now, like I told you, the church we grew up in, Rainier Temple, was full of idols just recently. And as soon as I saw that Buddhist temple, I started praying that it close. And guess what? It's closed. Because the God we serve does not want to worship people worshiping idols. You might say, don't people have free will? Of course they do, but that's why prayer changes your will. Huh? Prayer changes your will. It makes you want to. That's the only thing that can make you want to do something you don't want to. Prayer can change you, turn you around. We've all run into the relative that I don't hear no gossip. I don't hear that Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. And then when they get in, Pastor, can you pray for me? I thought you didn't. Honey, well, I just can't figure out what's going on. I've been doing all that I do. Can you pray for me? I used to tell people that said that to me, I said, I'm going to tell you something. If I pray for you, I'm going to pray that God save you in addition to the system, the situation you're in. But I pray that he opens your eyes to him because that's really what you're going through. And I remember I told somebody, I said, look, the solutions I offer you are from the Bible. So if you don't want to hear it, don't ask me. But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. Isn't that the way it is? If you ask me a question, I have permission to give you my wisdom, and the wisdom I have comes from the scriptures. So I'm not going to tell you about what Dr. Mitch Magala said. I'm not going to tell you what Dr. This said. I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And if you don't want to do it, then don't ask me. I mean, Jeremiah, remember the story of Jeremiah? They come to Jeremiah, go ask God and ask him where we should go. We don't want to stay here and we need to know direction. And as soon as he went away for a few days and came back, and God said, don't go to Egypt. And they said, you're lying. God didn't tell you that. And they said, we're going to Egypt. And he told them, don't go. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. And they did what they wanted to hear. And God says, you're never going to come back from Egypt. And you're going to die in Egypt. That's the kinds of things people do. If they don't want to hear what God says, don't ask us. Right? Don't ask us. He said, well, you think homosexuality is wrong? Yes. Oh, you're a homophobe. Well, don't ask me then. Don't ask me if you don't want to hear it. It's not anything against you. Is the Bible says it is. Nature says it is. You know that things that in the scriptures are usually confirmed by nature? Huh? nature confirms. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. There is a system that you can't even buck because it's set in stone. There's no homosexual animals. If there are, they're extinct now. Huh? Let's be honest. If they were, they're no more. Because that lifestyle won't propagate, won't continue itself, will not be fruitful and multiply, which is the command God gave to every creature. Be fruitful and multiply. That's every command he gave to the animals and the people. So we have to understand that these are things that are demonically inspired. All the systems that are contrary to what the scriptures teach are demonically inspired. Now that's a hard statement to deal with, but that's the truth. Because everything that contradicts the scripture, Satan gave the idea. Amen? Just go back to the beginning. Adam and Eve, did God say you weren't supposed to eat that tree? He knows that as soon as you eat it, you'll be like him. But he told you not to eat it. And so you need to eat it because he doesn't want you to be like him. Never mind that he said I made them in my image. Never mind that they walk with me and talk with me and we have a fellowship that requires image bearers. Never mind that. But Satan convinced them that they were not what God wanted them to be. And so every religious group has the same deception playing in their head. People come around after Jesus and say, well, Jesus didn't finish the work, so he's called you to finish it. When on the cross, he said, what did he say? Everybody say, what did Jesus say when he was on the cross? It is finished. So if somebody comes to you and say, well, our teacher, our leader says that Jesus didn't finish the work, you know he's lying right off the bat. He's lying. And it's not necessarily him, but it's the spirit behind him. See, religion is man's attempt to appease God and obtain favor from God by doing things. Doing things. That's what religion is all about. Think about it. Look at all the great religions. They're all trying to appease God either through their behavior or their offerings so that he could give them favor. Amen? You offer sacrifices to the God of fertility. Why? So you can have children. That you offer sacrifices to the sun, moon, and stars. Why? So your crops will grow. Because after all, aren't those gods? Sun, moon, stars, they control the weather patterns. This is what men come up with. You offer sacrifices so that your God is stronger than the other guy's God. So then when they come to try to take over your nation, you've offered a stronger sacrifice than they did, so they can't come and overrun you. That's what all this stuff was all about in the Old Testament. You read that, and you remember the story about Hezekiah? The guy says, don't think your God is stronger than anybody else's God. Well, he shouldn't have said that. That was his doom and downfall. He said, man, we've overrun all these other nations, and where are their gods? Matter of fact, I got them in the back of my car. At least the back of its chariot. They didn't work. And don't think your God is going to work. And God says, uh-oh, let me take this one, Hezekiah. I got this one. Because he stepped over the line. And the Bible said one night 180,000 people were dead. And nobody shot them, nothing. They just all died in their sleep. And then he went back and his own sons killed him. You don't talk about God as another God because he's not equal by any other God. He is not equal to any other God. He is the God of gods, the King of kings. Really, let's not even call him gods. He's the only God. everything else, as the Bible says, are man's works, man's hands have made. He's the only God. And the way you get to God is by his revelatory method. See, we want to do things, and Lord, if I fast for 40 days and not do this and don't do this, God is going to favor me. It's only if he tells you that's what you should do when that'll favor you. But not just because. See, we don't come up with God methods to worship God. God teaches us how to worship him. And that's the problem with the world. We don't want God to tell us what to do. We want to do it ourselves. We want to come up with our own methods of worship. Let me read Deuteronomy 12:11 real quickly. And the New Testament is full of it, and we have to probably get to that later. What did I say? Deuteronomy 12:11? Says this, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses. Everybody read that with me. Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses. Who chooses it? You don't get to choose it. He chooses it. That's why when the children of Israel offered sacrifices on the hills and all the in the country, in their house, he says they're offering to demons, because I did not designate that place for a sacrifice. And Solomon did it too. After Solomon built the temple, he still offered sacrifices for the gods of his wives on places that he shouldn't have. That was Solomon's downfall. But then it says, the place where God, where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. Notice that he appointed a place, and this is where you have to do this. You might say, well, I don't want to do that. That's too far for me. I don't feel like... Can I just do it? This is what we do. It's too far. It's too hard. Can I just do it this way? Don't you think, God, because I'm sincere, that I can just make a left turn or a right turn here? It's okay, isn't it, Pastor? If I just make a right turn when God says go straight, I can turn left and still get to the same destination. Isn't that the same? Because my heart is in it. That's what we say. Well, they're really sincere about their worship, but that doesn't make it right. And God judged the children of Israel because they refused to bring the sacrifices to the place he designated. And then, get this, he said, okay, you don't want to do it my way? I'm going to destroy the temple and you can't even approach me anymore. That's what he did. Oh, you don't want to offer it in the temple? You like the green hills and everything? I'm going to destroy this temple so that you don't have a place. And then they're longing for the temple. Oh, Lord, we're sorry. We missed it. We're suffering because we don't have a temple. Then he brought the temple back. And they learned not to offer sacrifices, but then they had come up with a tradition. And then when Jesus came, he came to do away with the sacrifice. Not do away, he became to be the sacrifice. And once he was offered, it's not an accident that the temple was destroyed 35 years after Jesus left here. Because the system was no longer necessary. It's only necessary if you don't do it his way. They try to keep it going. 35 years, we're still offering sacrifices. We're still doing all this stuff. And then the Romans come and destroy it all. And then what do you do? You create your own system to try to get to God. And it's not working. It's not working. Why? Because that's not the way he said you could come to him. Religion won't work because it's not sanctioned by him. You might say Jesus says stuff like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's narrow-minded. How can you say that? Because God said it. And Jesus is the only one that paid the price like anybody over anybody else to make that claim. Buddha cannot make that claim because he did not rise from the dead. He did not give his life a ransom for anybody. Muhammad didn't do that. Krishna and the Hindu gods didn't lay their life down for their people. Only Jesus did. So he's the only one that can make that claim and have it have any legitimacy. Because if you could put him on the same scale as everybody else, his offering is up here. Everybody else is down here. And so he's the only one that can say, I'm the only way to the Father because I gave my life for the sheep. Nobody else, everybody else, as he said, were thieves and robbers because they wouldn't lay their lives down for the sheep. They were hirelings. They were hired by the enemy to deceive. They were not willing to lay their life down, but he is the good shepherd that lays his life down for the sheep. John doesn't even know who he is. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Before he knew who he was, but the Holy Spirit recognized him in him. And he said, there's the Lamb. There he is. And then they try to create a controversy between Jesus and John. Say, hey, I thought you were the... He said, no, I never told you I was. I said, I'm the one before, but that's the guy that you've been waiting for. The Lamb of God. And this is what happens when we try to worship God without doing it the way he tells us to do it. We get into demonic worship without knowing, because those that worship idols didn't know they were worshiping demons. See, the thing about demonic activity has always existed, but it wasn't really brought to clarity until Jesus came. Notice Jesus had contact with demons everywhere. He's walking in the synagogue, guys, yells out, what do we have to do with you? Jesus is like, man, they're everywhere. They're in the synagogues. He says, shut your mouth and come out. And they said, and then the demons knew him, so he had to tell them to shut their mouth. Because they would say, you're the Son of God. They were confessing because they remember the scripture before it was ever written. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. But see, if he allowed the demons to give him that glory, then the people would believe the demons and worship the demons instead of Jesus. So that's why he had to tell them to shut your mouth and come out. That's why he did what he did. But they knew him. Because he was the incarnate son that lived in eternity. They recognized the guy. He couldn't sneak by the demons. They know, oh, are you coming to torment us before the time? They knew it was coming. They know it's coming. But they're not going to tell you it's coming. They know their time is up. But they're not going to tell you that.
We're just halfway through this sermon. But our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc. Or on Twitter at New Creation WA. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
But see, we have to remember we're ambassadors of freedom. We bring freedom to those that are captive through the Spirit of God. Because we worship God like he wants us to. Jesus said, and let me read this and then I'm going to close for today. Go to the woman at the well. And I love the story of the woman at the well because she takes an interesting turn on Jesus. You guys ever notice that? Let's go to chapter 4, John. just real quickly, and then we'll close. Now, no, the woman at the well, she waits until nobody's at the well to come, because most likely she's not a well-received, well-respected person. So it's just Jesus and her. And she comes, and Jesus asks her for a drink. Verse 7, it's a woman of Samaria. And now let me say this, Samaria is a part of the northern kingdom of Israel. So she is actually maybe she's not 100% Jewish, but she's Jewish in some way. And she tells us that by her testimony. So she's from Samaria, and that's, as I said, the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes. She came down to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." He says, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now, again, remember, traditionally, men and women did not talk to each other. Right? That's why the disciples were shocked. Jesus is talking to a woman. What's wrong with this guy? He don't keep no tradition. But anyway, let's move on. It says, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask? She even knows he ain't supposed to be talking to him. Ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman. Because Jews, he says, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jewish people thought that the Samaritans were a mixed breed lot that had lost their biblical position, if you will. The Jews were the pure, the Samaritans were the impure. So we don't have anything to do with those people. You know, we've heard that before, right? Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said to you, to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now he's getting spiritual. She stays natural. Okay? So he says living water. He didn't just say water. He said living water. But then woman says to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? So see, all she can think about is the well. And Jesus is talking about life water. And so then he tries to open up her understanding a little bit. He says, are you greater than, notice she calls him our father Jacob. What does that tell you? She's Jewish. Jacob is the father of the Jews. That's where the Jews came from. And he says, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? So she's identifying her lineage. That's what we go to. I'm somebody. I'm not just a nobody. My father is Jacob. I'm somebody. Amen? Isn't that what we do? My family just ain't nobodies. You know, we got Uncle Johnny. He didn't go to jail. Everybody not in jail. You know, you guys do that with your family tree? Well, we don't talk about Uncle John, but Uncle everybody. I was talking to my cousin, and man, he was telling me, we got so many Franklins down in California, you can't shake a stick at them. And he was telling me he was a police officer. I'll just take a little side trip here. And he became a guard at the jail, and he tried to move way out so he wouldn't be by his folk. And he said, as soon as he opened the door, locked the door, turned around, cousin John Franklin was there. Said, oh, now I know I got some power now. This is my cousin walking up in here with the keys. And see, that's not, we think that's funny, but that's dangerous for his cousin. Because right now, oh, your cousin got keys? Am I right? And that's what they do in prison. I mean, they don't just say, well, maybe we could pile up with, no. They're looking to kill him to get out of there. And then he told me that cousin John was in there for murder. And I never met John before. Actually, I'm sorry, James. John's brother, yeah. And he was telling me, and these are all my dad's people. And he said, man, yeah, there's like two or three of them in prison. And it's terrible. I was like, man, Lord, what happened? And their fathers were all saved people. Yes, well, his father's dead, so he wasn't in jail. But save children's folks go to jail, obviously. So anyway, going back. So my people weren't all in jail, but some of them were. Going back to the story here. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So again, he's not talking spiritual stuff. I mean, natural stuff. He's talking spiritual stuff. He's trying to get her mind out of the, and this is what God is always, God's, when God speaks, he speaks spirit, not just natural. He's trying to get us out of the carnal lifestyle. Everything that God speaks can deal with that carnal man if we hear with the right ears. And he's trying to deal with all the problems that this lady has had because he knows that she does not have eternal life. He knows it. And he uses water because she knows water. Amen? So then he goes and says, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." See, she's still talking about water. She's still talking about natural water. "I don't want to come back here and get this water. So give me the water you got so I don't have to come back here." And then he says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Now we start to step on some toes here. Yeah, now you're meddling, as they say. And the woman answered, and notice she didn't hide it. She says, "I don't have a husband. I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, you have well said, "I have had no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one to whom you now have is not your husband, and that you have spoke truly." Now notice Jesus does not condemn her. Jesus knew already, and he tells her everything she knows that she didn't tell. She just said, "I don't have a husband." So it sounds like she's probably living with the sixth one. She didn't bother to have been married five times. Why bother getting married the sixth time? Huh? So I just stick with this guy until the end, right? And notice she says, then she does get spiritual. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So her eyes are beginning to open. Why? Because he's touching her heart. Right where she's having problems, he's touching it. He's touching. She's got problems with relationships. Now, it could not have been her problem, because back then the women did not have rights. Women did not divorce their husbands. Husbands divorced the wives. Women could not divorce. Amen? You guys knew that? Did you guys know that? There was no female woman's rights back then. Your husband tell you, get out, you got out. And that was it. Anyway, I'll leave that one alone. Keep going. Keep looking. Don't look that way. Keep going. And then she says, "I perceive that you're a prophet." And notice she gets spiritual on it. "For our fathers worshiped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Now notice she tries to make it a Jewish versus Northern Kingdom argument. But I read you chapter 12 of Deuteronomy. Who told them where to worship? God said that. God said, I will abide in Jerusalem. And that's where the place where I'll abide. God said that. Not the Jews, not the southern tribe, not David. But God said that. So she's trying to make a controversy. She wants to be religious, but she also likes controversy. How many know that church folk like controversies? But Jesus don't even pay that much attention. He says to her, "Woman, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when we'll neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, And they that worship, those that who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And then the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. It's the only place, one of the few places Jesus actually says he's the Messiah. Because she would have never got it if he hadn't told. Come on, she would have never got it. She was into religious conflict. Her eyes were blinded. So he had to just come out and say, aren't I telling you? Aren't I already telling you what you need to do? I'm the one. I'm he. And then she ran and she told everybody. So Jesus is doing exactly what God is doing. He says, look, you think you know what you're worshiping? But you don't know what you're worshiping. He said, God set the system, and the Jews have the system, and they're the ones that are bringing the truth. So you can't create your own system and say, I'm worshiping God on this mountain. The Jews say they're going to worship God in Jerusalem, but I'm going to worship God over here. You're not worshiping God because you're doing it your way. But then he says, but let me tell you something about this Jewish worship thing. It's not going to stay like this. Sooner or later, only the Father, that those that worship the Father in spirit and truth are going to worship, because the temple is not going to be in Jerusalem anymore. That's why he said what he said. We're going to have to learn to worship God, because God does not worship and live in temples made with hands anymore. But he lives in the hearts of people. And that's why we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's all inside. It's not, well, I shouldn't say all, because some folks get spooky when you say that. It starts on the inside, but it works itself out onto the outside. And you worship by action, how you live, what you say, what you do, when to speak, when not to speak, how to avoid this. He gives you eyes. Like I said, once you see, the Holy Spirit gives you vision, then you can see that you were in darkness. I mean, I remember when I got saved, I said, man, why didn't I understand this when I was a kid? This is so simple. I mean, didn't you guys do that too? Or was it just me? I got saved, and I asked the preacher that was, we got to marry us. I said, how come? I asked him, do you preach the gospel? Because it's so simple, everybody should get saved. I mean, it is so simple. All you got to do is believe. Believe it. But folks don't want to believe it. That's too simple. We want to do stuff. That's why we have religions. We want to exercise and do all these great works. I didn't realize this. I'm closing. The Taj Mahal. You guys all have seen pictures of the Taj Mahal? I never realized that that was built for... A king built that for a wife that died. All that work for a dead woman. That was all, and they said he was only married to her for 14 years. It took like 50-something years to build the building. I was like, really? I never knew that. We like to build great edifices to show our love, when God just says, just believe. Just believe it. Jesus died for your sins. Do you believe it? I don't know. That's hard. Just believe it. It's that simple. He said it's so simple that a child can't even err in it. If they just believe. Let's stand. But we have to understand, religion is so ugly because it always clouds the image of God. The reason why most people don't want to believe in God, because churches as well as religion have clouded the vision of God. But I never forget what this one preacher said. And it was a lady evangelist. I can't remember. I think it was Betty Titus. You guys remember Betty Titus? I don't know if you guys know her. But she said, if you really could get to know God, you would love him. if you could get all that junk out of the way and see God for who he really is, you couldn't help but love him. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to move the curtain, move the bad vision, the bad glasses, the red colored, the rose colored glasses, take them off so that you could see God for who he really is. And when you realize that he gave his son so that you could be a part of his family again, how can you turn from a God like that? He paid, somebody kidnapped you and he paid your ransom. How could you not love a God like that? Let's pray. Father God, we look to you because you are the only one, the only living God. There is no other God. Nobody can compare to you. Nothing can compare to you. And everybody needs to see you for who you are, because you are so lovely. You're so beautiful in your holiness, your righteousness. And Lord, thank you that you've made us righteous because of the gift that you gave through your son, Jesus. And Lord, we lay all our junk at your feet. All the junk that we carry with us, the baggage. We're spiritual hoarders. We walk around with spiritual junk that we don't need. All we need to know is that Jesus died for our sin and rose from the dead, and we believe it. And you've made us new creations. Lord, thank you for making everyone in this building. Let's raise our hands and just say, Lord, thank you for making me a new creation. Come on, say it like you mean it. Thank you for letting me be a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And that's just not a name of a church. That's a name of a life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we receive it today. We receive the full capacity of being new in you today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for being with us, speaking to us. And I pray that the words that I spoke are words that you wanted me to speak. I hope I didn't get out of turn, but I spoke what thus saith the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for being with us. Thank you for blessing us and causing your face to shine upon us and being gracious unto us. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.